Road from late Thursday afternoon. They're also appealing to anyone who may have seen anything suspicious in the area. A man practicing for the Western Australia Hang Gliding Championships has died after crashing in the state's central wheat belt. The 50-year-old died at the scene when he crashed his hang glider into a paddock about 50 k's northeast of Meriden about 4 yesterday afternoon. He was to take part in today's competition. Police are investigating his death in conjunction with the Hang Gliding Federation of Australia. Meantime, a man has died after crashing his motorbike in the town of Ravenswood, south of Perth. The 41-year-old was riding his Harley Davidson alone last night when the crash occurred. He died of his injuries. The Governor-General has toured North Queensland, meeting with locals and the people helping with recovery efforts after the devastating floods. The total damage is estimated at $1 billion. Sir Peter Cosgrove says Queensland will recover.
They are busy capturing lessons learned, and that's the way Queensland does it. It has, if you like, an institutional memory on disasters that stands its communities in very good stead.
A man remains behind bars after he allegedly led police on a number of pursuits and confronted a pregnant woman with two machetes at a Sydney fast food outlet. Police say 29-year-old Joshua John Ventura was arrested at gunpoint on Friday night after he allegedly drove a stolen vehicle that collided with a police car at Sydney South. He didn't apply for bail and it was formally refused during his first mention at Parramatta Bail Court yesterday. He's next due to appear at Sutherland Local Court on March 5. Polls have closed in Nigeria, the biggest election in Africa's history. The race to control the country with Africa's biggest economy pits President Muhammadu Buhari, who is seeking a second term, against main opposition candidate Atiku Abubakar, a businessman and former vice president. The BBC's Tommy Aladipo has more.
Both candidates have sounded confident today. President Buhari was asked if he would congratulate his rival if he lost, and he said he was confident that he would be the one to win, and he says he will congratulate himself. Mr. Abubakar as well described himself as a Democrat when he was asked if he would accept defeat. These are two men who are similar in many respects, both northern Muslims, both in their 70s, and so Nigerians have had to think a bit harder about who it is they're choosing and why.
And US and Chinese negotiators have met for a fifth straight day as the two sides race against a March 1 deadline to reach agreement and prevent a further escalation in their trade war. The fourth round of negotiations between the world's two biggest economies was extended through the weekend after both sides reported progress in narrowing differences. This is Air News. A second-half penalty from Adam Lafondra has been enough to give Sydney FC a pressure-relieving 1-0 A-League victory over Wellington in Campbelltown. The Sky Blues' frustrating month looked set to continue last night after failing to convert a number of clear-cut opportunities in the opening hour. Coach Steve Corica has told Fox Sports they now need to look forward to future matches.
We're all frustrated, but, it will come. It's all about they have the quality. They've done it before. It's all about remembering them going in, just focus.
And the Melbourne Derby has ended in a 1-1 draw at Docklands. Virat Kohli will back whatever decision his cricket board and government make over a mooted boycott of India's World Cup clash with Pakistan. Australia begin a limited overs tour of India with a 2020 early tomorrow morning. But all the talk leading up to the series in Kohli's homeland has revolved around how the Board of Control for Cricket in India will respond to a suicide bomber attack in Kashmir that killed 40 Indian paramilitary troops. Meantime, Sri Lanka has claimed an historic 8-wicket win in Port Elizabeth to become the first Asian side to win a test series in South Africa. In Super Rugby, the Brumbies beat the Chiefs 54-17, the Waratahs defeated the Sunwolves 31-30, and France ended their losing run in the Six Nations by hammering Scotland 27-10 to claim their first victory in this year's competition. Australian Independent Radio News.
The 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale Catalogue is out now. 800 yearlings, including progeny of I Am Invincible, Schnitzel and Fastnet Rock at the renovated Oaklands Melbourne, March 3 to 6, inglis.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
We got a steal. Mitch Creek, transition, easy throwdown.
At the end of this one, it is Australia 81, Kazakhstan 60.
To the leg side and secures the second test match victory for Sri Lanka. The celebrations can begin by the Sri Lankans on South African shore.
Look at that finish. This is Tiger the Artist.
Wow! What a shot! Frost. Alex Frost, the substitute penalty. Obvious. Sydney FC. Lafondra.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
We say it every week. I'm going to say it again. I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. I know we are here in the studio at French's Forest. Raymond, there is so much sport going on at the moment, and to think it's just whetting our appetite, isn't it? Because the footy season's about to kick off. We've got some brilliant racing with some great race horses back in action as well. And, of course, we've got South Africa being beaten in the cricket. So, you know, everything's right in the world.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Roman.
Good morning, everyone. You're right. The trials are on in full swing. Six trials yesterday, James. We're just 3 weeks out for the NRL season to start. And already the curse, well, not the curse of the trials, but the problem with trials is potentially injuries. Two superstars could be out for at least round one of the NRL competition.
Tommy Trbojevic has got a hamstring injury. We'll talk about this with Zorb a little bit later on in the program, but it looks like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it goes without saying, he's a massive loss to the Manly Seagulls if he's not there.
The Panthers didn't escape.
Billy Kickout, who big back page yesterday of the Saturday Telegraph. Yeah, I'm looking to be the best edge back rower in the competition. He could well be.
Mm.
First hit up. I was watching it.
First hit up, was it?
It was the first time he touched the ball. And he got up gingerly, played the ball slowly. I thought it was a concussion. Looks like it's going to be more than that.
Medial ligament injury there. To call
it. So now it's going to be, he's going to be under pressure to be there for the start of the season as
trials,
well.
Trials, we spoke about it last week with Zorb and yourself. They're necessary evils, aren't they, James?
Well, I like what clubs are doing now in that, yes, they are necessary evils, and so you've got to play it for a number of reasons. It's just one of those sports where you need match fitness. It's like you go a cricket tour of England, and the problem was you used to pay 5-1 days and then go into a test match, and everyone was underdone. So you need, you need to play. It just so happens that from a rugby league perspective, it's a tough game and you could get injured, and that's what we've seen happening. But you also need to bed down some new combinations.
Correct.
If you've got new players come to the club in key positions, all of those things are very important. The beauty of it is now clubs are actually making them an event. You've seen there was one on KO or Fox Sports last night. That was the South versus Penrith game, the John Sutton testimonial game. Excuse me. But you can stream them now across NRL.com, and you get to watch them, and there's a commercial element to it.
Speaking of betting down combinations, I didn't get to watch any of the trials yesterday, but did you happen to catch up with the Knights trial, and in particular the combination with Ponga and Pierce, which potentially will, should give the Knights a terrific season if both stay injury-free?
Well, this is interesting, Ray, because I actually saw the first time they played together.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I can reveal it now because it's all above board, but... not that it wasn't above board.
What are you saying?
I was Italian judge for that game.
Okay.
And it was the Knights versus Penrith at Penrith. The Knights won, played superbly. 3 points in the Italian went to Mitchell Pearce and 2 points went to Caelan Ponga.
Mm.
And it was very hard to split which was which. So it worked last year. Everyone's saying, well, how's it going to work this year? Well, it worked last year.
And they're going to be superstars. And if they can stay injury-free... Knights' top eight chance?
Oh, definitely. Mm. And I think the market reflects that as well. I've got them. I think there's going to be so close. Mm. I know it's easy as a cop-out to say, I've got my 1 to 16. I can go through that for you if you want.
Who've got the wooden spoon?
Bulldogs.
Have you?
Mm.
Parramatta, the improvers?
No, sorry. Parramatta, the wooden spoon.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah, Parramatta, the wooden spoon, Bulldogs, 15th. So, oh, there we go. Panel operator Hamish getting in nice and early. Big cheerio to all those Bulldogs and Parramatta fans out there. But look.
Just turned off.
That's right. So it had to happen. Now, Ray, we're talking about the big issues going on through the course of the week. I asked Zorba the question last week. We spoke about it. Mm. It's still the question, and it's going to be decided on Thursday. Yeah. It's the biggest question in sport at the moment, certainly in the NRL. Should Jack DeBellin, and he somehow has become the face of this, for a NRL versus Rugby League Players Association stoush, should Jack DeBellin be stood down from football?
This has become such a major issue, and Todd Greenberg has even said probably the most difficult decision he's had in his professional life to make. So, because potentially, James, last week we were both adamant innocent until proven guilty.
Correct. Are you wavering?
I'm not wavering because I definitely feel for both sides in this instance, obviously, but is it a dangerous precedent that the game could potentially set? And I say that thinking back in particular to the Brett Stewart and also the Sean Kennedale situations. I know the allegations against Jack DeBellin are horrific, but that's what they are at the moment. Allegations, they haven't been proven in court. If it goes to court and this man gets off, and potentially how long could that take? I don't know. Then what message does it send if he's stood down on Thursday, which it seems to be likely to be the case now?
So it looks like this way. Are the headlines damaging for the game?
Yes.
Yes. Does Jack DeBellin, the St George Illawarra Dragons or the NRL have any control over the headlines?
No.
No. So that's a separate issue altogether.
Yes.
Is there a commercial impact? Yes.
Obviously. And that potentially corporate sponsors are threatening to leave the game or walk away from clubs, etc. So that's becoming a major issue for the NRL.
Right. So what can the clubs and the NRL do around controlling those damaging headlines?
When it comes to a situation
what can they do?
Well, you can't. James.
Exactly.
You can't control
it. That's the point. So where does their care start? Mm. Their care starts with the individuals that are within the game.
Yes.
And last week I was adamant that Jack DeBellin should not be stood down in the interests of presumption.
Are you wavering now?
Never.
Okay.
Not for one second. Mm. There is no way they should do it.
And again, we should stress we're not diminishing the allegations that the young lady has put forward at all. All we're saying is that every person is entitled to their day in court.
I'll say this. I spoke to an insider in the St George Illawarra Dragons. They remain very confident that Jack DeBellin will not be charged.
Mm.
He is charged. Will not be found guilty.
Yeah.
He has pled not guilty.
And there's a report in this morning's papers that Jeremy Lattimore has come out and implored the NRL not to go down the path that they're seemingly going to go to. But in that situation, Todd Greenberg, I can understand why he's grappling this, because there's so many competing elements here.
Totally.
And in particular, the game's image. But as you quite rightly pointed out, you simply can't control the media coverage of an issue like this.
No, you can't. And that's where, you know, on one hand, people say to show leadership, Todd Greenberg and the ARLC need to stand down Jack DeBellin. Well, I would argue to show leadership, you do not stand him down.
Again, it's such a vexed issue because you could see both sides
totally.
Of the argument. Again,
it's not easy. It's not easy.
It's not a, obviously, it's a horrific thing, and you'd like to get the issue done and dealt with. But anyway, it's Thursday, is it?
Yes, Thursday's the big day. And in fairness to, and of course, with consideration for the victim, we have had her allegations only. We have not had the evidence presented by Jack DeBellin, by Callan Sinclair, by other witnesses, medical evidence or forensic evidence. Mm. We haven't had none of those submitted.
Yep, exactly.
So we just need to tread very carefully around that. The other thing that happened during the course of the week, and I'll get your thoughts on this, Andrew Gaze resigned from his position of the Kings. Now, you and Tanya are the Kings' number one and number two ticket holders. What were your thoughts on that?
You're a hard man.
We know what that's code for.
He's done a lot of travelling, obviously. I think most of his family are still based in Melbourne. So it's his third year at the Kings.
Correct.
And maybe he thought, well, the travelling is getting... Well, he did say the travelling is getting to him. And It's interesting, I guess, throwing forward now, who will be the replacement cage?
Does anyone believe that's the case?
The travelling situation.
Mm.
He's done 3 years.
Mm. Does anyone not believe that it was player-led revolution, rebellion? I think the way Matt Logue reported it during the course of the week, and congratulations to him.
He's
an outstanding journalist, and a great deal of time for him, but he realised he had to tread very carefully for a number of reasons. There's one team and it's in town and you've got to keep corresponding with that team. There's a very strong player group. In fact, it's the only situation where a coach is there to impress a player.
Mm.
Andrew Bogart's a part owner of the Sydney Kings. And Andrew...
And on the eve of the finals too.
On the eve of the finals. And Andrew Gaze, complicated by the fact that Andrew Gaze is one of the all-time nice guys and one of the all-time great players.
Mm. And he's got them into the finals. Well, you could... Gaze and Bogart.
And Jerome Randall and Kevin Leash and...
Well, Bogart was the X Factor.
Brad Newley and all.
He was the new element to the mix.
100% right. 100% right. So this is a really interesting situation. I don't think there's any doubt that, in my mind, reading between the lines, the players have said, you're out, Andrew. And yet, they've been able to handle it.
Do you think, given it's on the eve of the finals, do you really think that's the case?
I don't think they wanted it announced then, but better then than on the eve of a grand final.
But, you know, if that's the case, it shows the class of Andrew Gaze.
Absolutely.
It shows
the class of the man. And no one's saying anything differently. Racing yesterday, Roman, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you, what was the most impressive run yesterday?
Run of the day?
Run of the day at either Rosehill or Caulfield.
The Autumn Sun. And I say that for a couple of reasons. He was in an awkward spot, back on the fence, on a wet track.
Mm.
Sit sprint race, Vega Days, rock hard fit, controlling tempo, dashed off that slow tempo, looked home, and the Autumn Sun's peeled off a sub-34 on a wet track and got up to win. If he'd run a nice second, finishing fast, beating the length, everyone would have thought, oh, great return. Instead, that colt found a way to win. He runs through brick walls, Jim.
Is he worth what amount of money?
Minimum 50 million.
50 million?
Minimum 50 million. He's by Redoute's Choice, a sire of sires.
Right, yes.
On
yes.
his dam side, it's one of the great European families, so he's got extraordinary commercial appeal, dual hemisphere commercial appeal, and he's now a three-time Group 1 winner and a winner of, what is it, 6 of his 7 starts. He probably should be unbeaten. He is a genuinely outstanding racehorse. And, if anything, James, he's only going to get better. I hope we'll ask John Massara a bit later. I'd love to see him race him on next season because... his breeding would suggest he's only going to get better as a four-year-old.
Nice segue, yes. John Massara will be on. He is a part owner of the Autumn Sun. Wouldn't that be nice to put on your card? What do you do? I'm a part owner of the Autumn Sun. Vin Cox is on. He's the managing director of Godot. What
Didn't
about the Blue
day?
Army?
Didn't they have a day?
Unbelievable. I wonder whether James Cummings goes, hang on, how come Anthony Freeman got liar? Back of my ding game.
He's got Tussaud. I think he's pretty happy with Tussaud.
Well, we'll get your thoughts on Tussaud. So we'll have a chat with Finn Cox. We're going to have Gary Portelli, the master trainer of juveniles, allegedly.
Allegedly? What are you saying?
Well, mate, you write it every time you write an article about him. I know there's a love fest going on between you and Portelli.
Oh.
The way he spoke about you at the Magic Millions when I saw it, I thought, hang on.
No,
he was gushing in his praise.
No, he's a good man. And more importantly, he's done a great job with time, terrain, because... he is obviously the half-brother to Gary Portelli's 2017 Silver Slipper Golden Slipper winner, She Will Reign. And given the fact it's now a Group 2 winner and right back in the Golden Slipper mix, he's potentially a very valuable stay-in as well. So he's done a super job with that colt.
Do you know what a courgette is?
No, I don't.
Besides being the mare, dam of...
She Will Reign and Tom Durain.
A courgette is a... young zucchini.
Is it a young zucchini?
Young zucchini, yeah.
Baby zucchini is called a courgette.
And given they're so prolific as youngsters, I thought it's so appropriate. Courgette. She keeps throwing these young horses that do well early on in their
baby
racing career.
Zucchini. You learn something every day, don't you?
I looked it up last night. It was ridiculous. But anyway, that's called time on your hands there. Zorba will be along. I can't wait to get his thoughts on what's happening in the world of rugby league. The Event Cinemas quiz is back again, so we'll have those prizes to give away. There was a lot of controversy last week. I've been smashed on social media by sections of the listening audience.
Well, the lovely Sophie did nail it.
Hang on. See, there's a misnomer, and you're directly misleading our audience.
What?
Sophie. Not the lovely Sophie.
No,
Sophie.
Obviously, she nails you about that because...
she nails me about everything. best contribution today will get the Wingman and Winks. That's the carton of Wingman beer and the book by Ray Thomas of Winks. And, of course, we've got the China Doll long-time listener questions throughout the course of the day, too. You've got to be listening for the whole 3 hours. And if you went today to China Doll, around about 1 p.m, Raymond.
We will be partaking right there. Quite beer.
We're going to speak to Brad Rosen, Sydney Kings, former Sydney Kings captain.
We'll ask Brad about that. Got Andrew it. Gaze situation.
And Phil Moss will be along as well. Trent Lanscow, and we might even have a special call too from our Scotty Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Might take
he's, back.
He's back. Negotiations are at a delicate point. So we can't bag him today.
No, would it be 10 years for Scotty?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, 10-year anniversary tour.
Next week's our 10-year anniversary, which is hence a dual celebration today. It's next week? First Sunday in March.
10 years.
10 years that you've had to put up with me.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to argue with that.
That's a great point, Ray.
That's a good point.
You're on the front foot.
Now, our talk topic today, it was motivated by yesterday. And yesterday, son two and daughter one were at a birthday party, a seven-year-old birthday party. They stayed there. Son number one wanted to get a new grip on his bat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there we were at Miranda, and I said, no, mate, let's go and have a look at Kingsgrove Sports Centre. Now, they're not a sponsor of the program. I'll put that out there straight away. They should be. I'll be looking for a little bit of a kickback next time.
Walking there.
The first time, it's like cricket heaven, right? And he's gone cricket mad.
A lot of
bats and pads and gloves and balls, posters. And we walk in there, and I was looking at him, and I thought, this is a fantastic day. He was the dad.
His eyes.
Look at this. Oh, dad, look at this. Look, trying everything on. You know, the helmet, the gloves, all of that.
Yeah.
All of that. And I thought, this is a very joyful moment for me. And it all came through sport. So the talk topic today is, when has sport brought joy into your life?
That's a good one.
On the back of Kingsgrove Sports Centre yesterday.
That's a really good one. It's inspiring.
What about you, Raymond?
Okay. 2012, Wimbledon final.
Yes.
Roger Federer walks on court. And I know there's all that stuff about Roger Federer, but there's an actual point to this. Is I can remember watching Wimbledon finals when I was a real little kid.
Yes.
My dad let us sit up and watch it with him, my brother and I. And so we've loved tennis since, like all sports, since we were knee-high grasshoppers. And I used to always ring my father when Wimbledon was on. You're awake, you're watching the first set, yep, I was so-and-so. And I wish that year I could have rung him, because I was sitting there, first time ever at Wimbledon and covering the Wimbledon final, and that was the year my father passed away earlier that year. So and I was sitting there as Roger walked on the court thinking, gee, I wish I could win my father. But it brought me both joy and a little bit of sadness, but great joy to be there. And given that I've been watching Wimbledon, I think the first time I ever watched it was when Jimmy Connors thrashed Ken Rosewell way back in 1974. So... Yeah.
So your three great sporting ones, Muhammad Ali, you didn't get to watch him. Don Bradman didn't get to watch him, but you got to watch.
Saw Roger.
Roger Federer.
Win Wimbledon too. Yeah.
There you go. That's what we're looking for today. We've gone a little bit deep and emotional today, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Not necessarily a bad thing. 13:53:53. Your contribution, if it's the best, Wingman and Winks. Oh, by the way, let's get back to reality. Come on, Jimmy, you muppet. I'll bet you a carton of beer that the Eels won't get the wooden spoon this year. Cheers, Gibbo from Bathurst. Maybe.
I reckon they're the big improvers.
Big improvers? Yeah, You're only saying that because there's a strong Eels contingent
in
your house.
In the family, actually.
So there you
I'll put it this way, James. They've got to improve.
Well, that's not quite true. That's not quite true. They can go backwards. 13:53:53, the open line number. We'll take a break now. It's 23 minutes past 7 on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffersey and Dean Lester, plus your calls. Sydney Radio's longest running program. Punters Postmortem. Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Get behind Place of Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle. You could win big with $500,000 in prizes on offer in every raffle, plus $5
$5 from every $10 ticket directly supports a local grassroots sporting club or charity of your choice. With Play for Purpose, it's a win-win. Tickets available online at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
Derby Racing invites you to their Open Day Yearling Parade on Sunday, March 3, to be held at K-Ranch Arena, Mount Hunter. Derby Racing will be parading their latest purchases for syndication by Exceed and Excel, Written Tycoon, Savabeel, I'm Invincible, and many more. Meet the Derby Racing team and enjoy entertainment from Damien Noel. Join the Group 1 Golden Slipper winning syndicators at K-Ranch Arena, Mount Hunter, Sunday, March 3 from 10:30 a.m. RSVP at derbyracing.com or call 0246 480998. AFL 33244.
Bellevue Hills put a gap in them here. It's put five lengths on them very quickly, and this is going to be a gap job for Bellevue Hill. They knew what they were doing. Have a look at it go. Pins the ears back, opens up the shoulders, and attacks the line. 1 by 5. Bellevue Hill blitzes them. Second goes to Bright Rubik.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Time now to get through our race replays. Just before we do that, we've got Sophie, who's got us on Twitter early, says, by the way, just remember, Santa is taking note of your dodgy behaviour in the quiz. That Jimmy Smith, hashtag just saying. What, Santa Anna Lane? Oh, Santa Claus.
Controversy.
Oh.
What is the score
in
the quiz?
Thanks, mate. 4-3.
After that dodgy win of yours last week.
Well, it was a win. I mean, I don't think at the end of the day, it's like in the scorebook. You might have been a nick through slips for 4, but it still says 4.
Exactly. Oh, we'll move on.
Yeah.
Race replay time, your favourite part of the show, Jane. We'll go straight to the Silver Slipper yesterday. Time to Rain bounced back from a Warwick Farm defeat. He was really impressive.
And Tassord is the widest runner coming to the corner and trying to make ground now. Cardiff, 3 lengths clear, coming to the corner. McLaren's in hot pursuit in second, followed by Time to Rain. Then came Ferretti the rails, and Tassord's getting to the outside, 5 off the lead, 300 metres to run. And Cardiff, 2 lengths clear from McLaren, Time to Rain. Ferretti needs to lift. Now Tassord's starting to wind up on the outside as Time to Rain takes the front. Tassord, though, faces a big job to get him. Time to Rain going boldly in the lead from Tassord right through into second. Time to Rain bounces back today. Time to Rain by 2.5 to Tassord. Born a Warrior.
$11 surprise. Just to give you pull the curtain back on what we're talking about here, in the middle of that race replay, somehow a mate of mine's texted me something about, has Ray got his helmet on today facing Malcolm Marshall? And then Ray said, who do you reckon would have been the hardest to face at the Wacker? Would it have been Malcolm Marshall or Joel Garner with the bounce? And it's like, we're getting paid to be here to talk about this. How old are we? There he come. Anyway,
it would
fun.
Be harder. I reckon Joel Garner with a bounce at the
wall. I reckon Malcolm Marshall would face anywhere.
Yeah, possible. Yeah, but just on that particular pitch.
And the other one, Andy Roberts, they reckon had that ruthless streak in him.
He did. He
had a ruthless streak.
And
had a mean streak.
Bouncer. Yeah. Vicious bouncer. David Hook, remember?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what are the things that come out of there? Time to Rain. We're going to speak to the master trainer of juveniles a little bit later, Gary Portelli. $11 now for the Golden Slipper. What about Tassord? Lost no friends. $4.50.
I thought he was good. Soft trial going into it, strikes a wet track, gave a bit of a start, worked the line nicely, had a good blow afterwards, will improve massively.
I know it means nothing at this point. We're going to speak to Vin Cox, but to sort, $4.50, exhilarates, $8. Liar, $11. How's Godolphin going?
They've had a two-year-old season and a half so far, haven't they? Magic Millions, now the Blue Diamond, and they've got the three favourites for the Golden Slipper.
Very bullish before the race with Ferretti, Gay Waterhouse, run.
Yeah, I think you've got to forgive it because wet track first up, Silver Slipper going in the deep end, has to improve. I thought Born a Warrior was good out wide for Tim Hawks' first start. On then to the Hobartful Stakes. Well, here he is. Is he the heir apparent to Winx, the Autumn Sun?
Vega Days and Bondi, the Autumn Sun seeing plenty of daylight, and McAvoy revving up the favourite now. Bondi on the outside of Vega Days at the 250, the Autumn Sun is starting to mow them down now. It's Vega Days, Bondi, the Autumn Sun a length off them. Vega Days is fighting back, but the Autumn Sun in the middle is making a race of it now, the favourite. He moves up, grabs the lead, and he does it again. The Autumn Sun, a great return to racing. He beat a very brave Vega Days. Bondi
called it early, Darren Flindell. The sectional suggests that was the case, wasn't it? I tell you what, if you're a $1.50 punter, you would have been a little bit nervous down the middle of the straight. And speaking of $1.50, that's exactly what the Autumn Sun is for the Randwick Guineas. in a couple of weeks' time. Jeez, Vega Day, $6.
Runs through a brick wall, that horse.
Right, okay.
He broke 34 coming home, only horse to do it all day. Gave a big start, first up, wet track, chasing a rock-hard fit horse off a slow tempo.
Right.
Outstanding. If he'd run a good length second, you would have thought, what a great return.
Okay. He managed better than that.
He was outstanding. Millie Fox Stakes, got to give Lizzie Jelfs a lot of credit here.
And do we have to?
Absolutely. She's a star, Lizzie. Before the race, she said White Moss is the standout in the yard at $61.
Right.
She was 100% right. Go, White Moss, you good thing.
White Moss spins the corner in front by a length on Daisy Doom. Then Cool Passion in good time. I Am Serious, three off them under the stick. Just plodding at the moment, looking for room. Savatiato and Champagne Cuddles coming down the outside. White Moss at the 150, still in front. Savatiato winding up on the outside. White Moss in front from Savatiato. I Am Serious gets going late. White Moss still in front. Clings on. White Moss. White Moss wins the Millie Fox from I Am Serious and Savatiato. And great tipping by Lizzie Jelfs there from the...
Oh, I guess the mention from Darren as well. She's in the production office, by the way. That's why I had a little bit of a go. And Lizzie, she's here.
Yeah,
there she is. So it sounds like you're back. Sounds like you...
Oh, no, I wish I listened to Lizzie.
No?
No, I always do. I'm not saying I don't.
Oh, hang on, Roderick. Geez, you got yourself into trouble.
No, I wish I listened to
Why on earth would you listen to Lizzie Jelfs is what you were saying earlier.
Correct, yeah.
Correct.
No, I'm saying that she's picked out this horse in the mounting yard at $51.
Right. Okay.
But as you said, he stands out. Well, she stands out.
Yeah, she does,
boss.
Yeah. She is the standout.
Okay, anyway.
All right, now, Coolmore, no market up for it.
Yeah, head towards a Coolmore Classic. The run of I Am Serious was excellent. So if you backed her yesterday, don't drop off her for the Coolmore Classic. Three Group 1s at Caulfield yesterday, and it was a huge day for Godolphin. They got the Group 1 ball rolling with Elise in the futurity.
Hartnell tracks Elise, then Land of Plenty, four off the lead from Magic Console, Ring-a-Ding-Ding. Manuel joined by Malaguera and Le Remain. Elise, the outside, has company. Brave Smash needs a run badly, and Land of Plenty down the outside at the 200. Malaguera with Elise, the outside, Land of Plenty late. Elise and Malaguera. Elise, a magnificent mare, won it by a half. Malaguera, third photo, Hartnell poking through, or Land of Plenty, man.
So, Elise, it was in the futurity and, what, three wide?
All the way.
Pretty
no
much
cover,
the trip.
Yeah.
And maybe a surprise for me that Elise didn't get run of the day ahead of the Autumn
Sun.
Yeah,
no, it's a good case for it. She was terrific winning Hartnell. What a run it was for third. Oh, the old bloke, he's still ticking on nicely. On to the Blue Diamond, and as you mentioned earlier, Jim, Godolphin have an outstanding team of two-year-olds. This is another one. Her name is Liar.
I'm Immortal at the 450 leads. Bella Rosa free of debt. Vinakunka behind them. Shotmaker out deeper on the track with Catch Me, followed by Atheri, who tracks those. Lankenstar has run up behind them. Loving Gabby with a lot of traffic. Brooklyn Hustle and Liar to the outside. Free of debt. Moves up to I Am Immortal at the 200 metres from Lankenstar. Brooklyn Hustle under the arches, running on with Liar. Free of debt with 100 metres to go. Liar's descending with Brooklyn Hustle. Liar over the top. Liar's won the diamond. Three-quarters length and star free of dead photo for the Ethereal Brooklyn.
Yeah, Liar it was. Outstanding work for Godolphin. Anthony Friedman, I think he got five horses. There's only five two-year-olds and there's only one that's run. It's just happened to win the Blue Diamond. And as we mentioned now, an $11 hope in the Golden Slipper.
Very impressive, wasn't she? Mm. Unleashed late. Mm. Onto the Oakley Plate. I was on Sprite here, Jim. Oh, she just need a bit of luck. But terrific ride here by Dean Yendall on Booker.
Encryption, well back as Bell, Sonic, Alakazoom, Furyk, Sprite, Sensei, Usain Bowler. I'll have a bit as last. Nature Strip in front around the turn. At the 250 goes for home, two lengths in front. But Eduardo's chasing. Booker running on. Bonds away. It's Nature Strip with the 150 to go. Booker's coming through with Eduardo. Booker takes the lead from Eduardo. Encryption late. Booker's holding on. Booker. Booker's won it by a half length photo. Eduardo or Encryption.
That was the win for Booker there. Now, if we go to the new market, Osborne Bulls there at $3.50.
Godolphin.
Godolphin. Graf at $6. In Her Time, equal third favourite with Zusein, $8. And then Booker is quoted in the market now at $15.
Yeah, good tough win, wasn't it? You know, and Encryption, a big run running third.
Yeah,
just in front of Eduardo.
That's it, Raymond?
That's it, James.
Morning. There's a photo on my fridge taken by my auntie of me and my parents dressed in red and green outside the Woolpack Hotel at Redfern, ready to march down Chalmers Street towards Town Hall. They both have passed on since, but I'm always reminded of that joyous and momentous occasion when the rugby league community took back ownership of the game. Mm. A wonderful day. Marathon from Mayfield. That's the type of thing we're looking for. So joy in your life through the medium of sport. Good nomination there. We're going to take a break. After the break, we'll take your calls too on this talk topic. On any other talk topic, we've got a number of SMS in here about Jack DeBellin, and we'll get to them as well. It's now 25 minutes to 8. Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Tab's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account bets only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamble's Help 1-800-858-858.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week.
Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Solid start there by Jack Howe. He got that one. He didn't get it in the heat, but he's got it here in the final. Edwin Akita's trying to go with him, as is Doran. It's Hale out in front. Edwin Akita, but it's going to be Hale. He's going to take the win here. A dip on the line, 10:36 unofficially.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
That was Jack Hale winning the Sydney Classic last night, James. Good young talent, good young 100-metre sprinter.
He's a star. We hear about him once a year. He's a star, and because it's athletics, we hear about him once a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it just is.
I see where you're coming from, but he is a good talent and on track for bigger things, Jack Hale.
1353-53, the open line number, just a few things. Has anyone seen Ray Thomas and Horatio from NCIS in the same room together? That's from Harpo. I don't know who.
Tommy from Campbelltown used to always say that.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll look that one up. Hi, Jimmy. Just confirming, the record for the most golf balls lost by an individual player on the same hole in an Ambrose event at the Moree Golf Club is 2. Therefore, you are a joint record holder with a D. Watts, former scratch marker, not the outright record holder. Still a marvellous effort. Happy golfing, the Moree Ball.
Great help.
Difficult circumstances up there. I think, we started on the 10th. So, Friday went up for the Wee Bowler Bulls. 60th anniversary. They have a golf day. They have a big auction up there.
Do you host the function?
Not really host the function. I just help out with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, raise some money for the club in a time that's been very tough up there for everyone. Drought for the last 18 months.
Bushfires and everything.
They raised $50,000 for the rugby club.
Really?
$50,000 for the sale of jerseys. So well done to everyone involved with the Wee Bowler Bulls. And if anyone was there last night for the function, the game and the function, let me know how it went. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. My thought on Jack DeBellin is that he shouldn't be stood down. As you both agree, a person is innocent until proven guilty. That being said, if he's proven guilty, he should forfeit all the money he's been paid leading up to the verdict, and the Dragons lose one competition point for every game DeBellin played in. That might give both parties food for thought. By the way, I hope you try and do a little more professional job with the quiz this week. That's from EJ. So.
Raised some very good points there, particularly that last one. But Jack DeBellin, really interesting case, and I dare say if he is found guilty, I don't think money will be his only worry. He'll have a lot of food for thought. But that's the point, James. Everyone deserves their day in court.
If he thinks he's innocent, what impact is that going to have on him mentally?
Yes.
If he is stood down by the club, and that's something we want to ask Zorba, because he was in the middle of the Brett Stewart. Mm.
And again, we're very mindful of the young lady involved in this situation as well, and she deserves all the sympathy and support as well.
1353-53, open line number. Tony is there. G'day, Tony.
G'day, guys. My middle son, he's in his 30s now, but when he was about 12, he was playing rec basketball for Sutherland, and he got picked. There was about four or five kids got picked to meet up with Kobe Bryant, who came out of Australia to promote his KBA basketball team.
Yeah.
And I took him down to the Opera House, forecourt, and they had a stand set up, and Kobe Bryant was there, and he had no idea, and I had no idea, but they handed out these Kobe Bryant T-shirts. had the kids' photos taken, and then my son got presented with a pair of Kobe Bryant shoes signed. And to this day now, he could have worn them, but he's kept them in his wardrobe. It's just one of those things that he's never forgotten. And that's like 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, Tony? It
left an impression on him. Yeah,
huge.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Good call. Good call. Let's keep going. Stu's there. G'day, Stu.
Jimmy and Ray. How are you, boys?
Good morning, Stu.
Don't worry, Jimmy. Don't worry, Ray. I'll get us back on top today, mate, with the quiz.
Is this Stu from the quiz?
You deserve a comeback, too, mate.
Stu from the quiz. Jimmy, I'm never singing the Wally Lewis song for you again. after that debacle.
Hey, Stu. The weight of public opinion is swimming you away.
Here's the Wally Lewis and the lacing of his boots. What do you got for us, Stu?
Well, boys, I'm with Jack DeBellum. Been through a similar thing myself. Today, you're not innocent. You're not innocent, Chief. Like, you've got to prove an allegation was made against me. It took me 12 months. Now, later on, that allegation was withdrawn. But I spent 12 months fighting this. The impact that it had on me, it very bad, you know, like, and as you say, you've got to take into consideration the young lady, but you cannot write this young fella off on an allegation.
I think it's such a complex issue, Stu, that has yet to play out before the courts, and I think you're seen to be prejudging if you do anything other than have the presumption of innocence. And is it having a negative impact on the game? Yes. Are the headlines damaging? Yes. Can you do anything about the headlines? No. Is it a difficult decision for Todd Greenberg and the ARLC? Absolutely. Are there competing interests at play? Of course there are. Are there some people who are being hypocritical in that they don't stand down people from their own club,
absolutely,
but now they want... Of course.
Yeah.
Is self-interest at play? Of course.
Our democracy is built on a premise of innocent until proven guilty. On to Ray. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
How are you, Ray?
On the same topic of the Jack DeBellum thing, is that... I feel that if the player is made to be stood down before the court case goes through, that if that's the case, you come a grand final, you know, at the end of this year, and the Bunnies are playing the Roosters. Next week will be 17 Bunnies up on charges of different things, just so the Roosters get an easy grand final win.
Ray, that point was made to me during the course of the week by a professional punter.
Yep.
By a professional punter who said, "You realise what they're doing if they do stand down Jack DeBellum." That for a big game coming up, that you could create allegations that if, you know, they might be, you know, baseless, but if the blanket policy is you stand down people who are facing serious allegations, then you're open to all sorts of things, as you're suggesting.
Absolutely.
It's a very, very good point, Ray. Mm.
Yeah, and yet another little twist and turn in this issue, and that's one of the reasons why Todd Greenberg has said it's the most difficult decision of his professional life. Changing pace here, James. Sorry.
Sorry. Could I say, who is advising the NRL on that very issue?
I understand he's got a team of lawyers.
Yeah, yeah. But are they punters?
Well, probably not. But he's got
get Ray Murray in there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And say, look at the impact you're having. You could have.
Very, very good point. Change of pace now, James,
yes.
Is that all right? Okay.
Yes.
Godolphin had a massive day yesterday, a winner at Rosehill, two Group 1s at Caulfield, plus the Peter Young Stakes, and the boss of Godolphin Australia, good man, Vin Cox is on the line. Vin, good morning. That's one of those, can I say Blue Army days, but red letter days that every stable wishes for. Good morning, Vin.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Yeah, no, it was a very, very special day for us, and to win a Group 1. Is wonderful, but two on the one day is outstanding.
Vin, did you get a call from James Cumming saying, "Hang on, how come Friedman got liar?"
No, James knew our plan all along that we were going to give one to Anthony Friedman, but he copped it on the chin, as you should, and he's a good lad, and he enjoyed the victory as much as the rest of us.
Yeah, no, I'm would you believe it? I'm being a little facetious.
Can't
there.
Believe that, James.
but just out of interest, Vin, how do you make that decision? Which two-year-olds go to Anthony?
Oh, look, Jason Walsh and myself just go through the yearlings and pick a few out.
Right.
They're the ones we came up with. And we had six with him originally, and unfortunately lost one just recently. And so we're now down to five, but we've got a Group 1 winner and a Blue Diamond winner, no less, amongst them.
Exactly. Vin, Tissot, Exhilarates, Now Liar, top three in Golden Super Betting are all heading that way?
I spoke to Anthony straight after the race, and he wasn't certain that we'd go forward to Sydney. He's been up a little while, and he thinks this is going to improve with a bit of time. So we may put her out. That's not saying we are going to put her out. But we never make a decision straight after a race, but we'll have a chat during the week and decide from there.
And Tissot and Exhilarates, I think Exhilarates trials this week, and I thought Tissot was terrific yesterday.
Yeah, Tissot was a great run. It really was. The main concern with him is he missed the kick. That aside, he beat the others handsomly. Gary Portelli's horse was very good, I thought. And he's obviously a very good horse, being a brother to a group, to a Golden Super winner. So, good run him, and we're very happy where we sit with Tissot.
Elise, just incredible. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Somehow Ray's tipped the Autumn Sun as his run of the day, but Elise was just outstanding. What was your take on the run, Vin?
Oh, Sat, I don't think it was the greatest ride of viewing. Sat four deep and still monstered the line, still beat them. Just a superstar, Elise. And goes forward to the All-Star Mile, so I'm just trying to check into a claim going to Tasmania today, but so she goes forward to the All-Star Mile, and I believe she's favourite in that. She's just a great horse to go into that race, and she's been training against the world, looks super. So we're very excited about her.
Yeah, and just on that, we've had James on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he was a little bit worried about whether Elise would actually make the All-Star Mile, and we gave it a little push here on the Sunday program. And look, I'm not saying we take full credit for it, Vin. All I'm saying is that if there is a portion of prize money that you felt would be best directed our way, then we'd be very open to that.
I'll raise that with Sheikh Mohammed. And
he'll go, who? Who are those two blokes?
Okay, we know you're there for us, Vin.
Vinny Hartnell's third. He was terrific. And Encryption second. You almost had a clean sweep of the Group 1.
Encryption was a fantastic run. Hopefully we can get him to win a Group 1 race, and we can get him off the start, and he's worth a lot of money. But outstanding run. We're pretty confident he's run well. Not disappointed in his run by any stretch of imagination, but a super run with a horse like that. Hopefully we can get the right race with him, and look forward to the future. But and Hartnell, terrific run. He's a great old boy. Just a super horse, and hopefully he might get soaked up in the wildcard entries in the All-Star Mile.
Avilius, the Melbourne Storm are looking for a new fullback. The sidestep that Avilius put on, now this, you would have been happy with this ride of Huey, just incredible. What was your thoughts on Avilius? What's the plan?
You've straight to the Australian Cup. I would imagine he's going to be very hard to beat in that. And the horse, again, he's super and doing well. And in that case, an outstanding ride by Huey. You don't get much better than that one.
Exactly. Hey, Vinny, what's happening in Tasmania today?
Tasmania Oaks Day today. We've got Rock Dove competing down here. She won the Strut Stakes a couple of weeks ago, and so coming down for that, and then the Tasmanian Yearling Sale tomorrow. So it's a good couple of days in Tasmania, and they've got a very, very good sale, and a few good horses come out of it. So you've got to be there.
Terrific. Yeah, well, the stable is absolutely flying, Vin. Really appreciate you coming on. Is it trying to board a plane to Tasmania?
And I suppose if you're prepared to go to the Magic Millions, you've got to go to Tasmania as well. It's sort of the yin and the yang of being the boss of Godolphin, right?
Don't worry, it's good fun down here.
Good on you. Hey, thanks so much, Vin, and hope to talk to you again during the carnival.
No worries, boys. Good to chat.
Thanks, Vin.
There he is, Vin Cox, who's the Managing Director of Godolphin. Good to have him on the program. As you say, Ray, they have been absolutely fantastic. Now, just before we go, morning, boys. The day my daughter Sophie was born, I got to have a few beers with a few mates. Handed me a tab ticket, $25 each way, on a horse called Fearless Sophie. She paid $17 to win. It was my proudest moment in sport, until I told the missus, and she berated me that I shouldn't bet on my daughter's name. and she was disappointed. I put it down to post. Manly man now. All right. Getting into some dangerous territory there. But the fact that you bet on your daughter's name.
I think we all do that.
Omen bet, yeah. And then you got in trouble for your wife. I think there's so many things that a lot of people can relate to. What's best is that we'll go to a break and hopefully we'll be back on air after these ads.
Yeah, exactly.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got a win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio.
Graduates of the Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale have shone on the track, including Santa Ana Lane.
Her time on the inside.
Junction, March 3 to 6, English.com.au.
Get behind Play for Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle, raising funds for charities and local sporting clubs. There are thousands of prizes to be won, all while supporting a good cause. Tickets just $10 at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCOU/2086.
The long dance have dashed away. Put 2.5 on Lady Moronton forever, New York. It's all over. Benelong Dancer's going to bolt in. And Benelong Dancer, 1 and 3, Lady Moronton forever.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And Jimmy, that was the Albury Country Championship qualifier yesterday. Congratulations to the connections of Benelong Dancer and the runner-up Lady Moronton. They have earned a spot in the Country Championships final, the $500,000 race at Randwick on April 6th. The first of the provincial heats is this afternoon at Hawkesbury. Kim Waugh has the two early favourites, Safado and Spring Charlie.
Will you have a tip for our listeners a little bit later? Isn't it?
We will.
Very good, very good.
It's another tip for you, James. Follow this horse. His name is the Autumn Sun.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of the Autumn Sun.
He's a genuine superstar. His part owner, John Massara, has been good enough to join us this morning. John, good morning. And, well, I was saying to Jimmy earlier that that race was the Autumn Sun's to lose yesterday, given the circumstances of the run, where he was, the tempo, etc. This colt just runs through brick walls, John.
Yeah, he's an amazing horse, gentlemen. He really is. As you say, there were difficult conditions for him yesterday. They ambled in front. They didn't go particularly quick. He was caught on the inside last and then had to run a personal 33.9 to win the race. So I thought it was an outstanding performance. At the time, I was sort of a bit confused until I went home last night, re-looked at the race several times, looked at the sectionals, and just realised what a great performance it was.
Were you one of the ones, and there was a number of pundits who were a little bit concerned about the Autumn Sun's trial form? I know Ray was actually a bit more bullish about it before that. What were your thoughts on the trials going in, and so what was the level of confidence like for yesterday, John?
Well, I was concerned because I'd gone to both trials. I'd seen the horse walk onto the track and then come back, and having listened to the jocks saying they were very happy with the trials, the fact is he was easily beaten in both. Mm. He was never put under any pressure, and he's one of those horses that will only do what you ask him to do, and that's part of his strength. He's a very laid-back horse. If you saw him walking around the enclosure yesterday, you'd think he was asleep, seriously.
Right.
He was lovely and loose and walking beautifully, but head down and just, you know, almost asleep. Mm. So that's part of his strength. He doesn't burn up his energy before the race. And so even during the race, you need to wake him up and get him rolling. But when you do, as you say, Ray, he runs through brick walls.
Mm. Yeah, he's remarkable for a colt. He's got such an incredible temperament. Randwick Guineas next, John, and I know that's a fork in the road. A lot of people were speculating about a possible showdown with Winx at some time this autumn. How do you see the Autumn Sun's autumn campaign unfolding from here?
It's hard to say, Ray. There are a lot of choices. He could stick to this distance around, you know, 14 to 1600. You've got a race like the, you know, George Ryder, which is a lovely weight for age race, always highly rated. You've got the Rose Hill Guineas, which will be the natural progression for a three-year-old. All indications are that he would get that distance. He seems to do his best work at the finish of all his races. Then you've got the Doncaster, where, you know, the weight conditions might altogether favour him, but you'd think the pressure of that race would really suit him. A lot of possibilities, Ray, a lot of possibilities. At this stage, we're going to just ponder on the result of that next race before we go forward.
And then we've got,
you know, I know Chris wants to go to Royal Ascot. And we've had an approach from them as well, and they'd love to see the horse there. But again, he's such a valuable horse for us, and his future is very important from a breeding point of view. I don't want to take too many risks with his health and the, you know, risks of travel, etc. So, you know, there are imponderables at the moment, but look, it'll all get clear once we see how he performs in the next race.
John, I think it was on this program last year when I think the fabulous run from the Autumn Sun, and everyone was talking about a showdown with Winx in the Cox Plate. It didn't eventuate. Are you more open to that happening now, or are you still thinking, why do I damage the brand, for want of a better term, of the Autumn Sun if he runs second to Winx? Or is it a damage to the brand?
Well, Jim, I don't think it'll be a damage to him to run second. A lot of very good horses run second to Winx. He's something exceptional. You know, we've got to take a grip of ourselves and think about the fact she's won 22 Group 1 races and 30 races in a row. And she's, you know, one in a million, virtually. So running second to her is an honour rather than anything else. So I wouldn't see it as a problem. Having said that, I'd hate to go into a race thinking I really want to knock her off in this race, you know?
Right.
Because she's been an adornment to the industry, and the whole thing's done so much good for racing, and you'd love her to go out in a fantastic note. Mm-hmm. So, one, I think it'd be very, very hard to beat her. Two, if we did beat her, I wouldn't get a lot of joy out of it. So, I think there are other ways through, and if we can avoid it, we will avoid it, but maybe we can't avoid it, you know. But I think all that will sort of clarify itself after the next start. I'm not being cagey here. We're just, you know, working it out quietly.
Hey, John, just before we let you go, we've got our talk topic today, and it's based around when sport has given you joy in your life, and Ray and I have come up with some very personal things around family and so forth. I just wonder, is there a moment in your long career in racing that has just been something that's brought great joy into your life?
Yeah, there are plenty of moments. Happily for me, I've always owned horses with other parties, with friends mainly, and partners, and I find that far more enjoyable than owning a horse on my own. I think the joy of you know, sort of patting each other on the back and screaming and sharing the moment. I think sharing the moment is the joyful thing for me.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope there's plenty of more moments to enjoy with the Autumn Sun. Outstanding yesterday. Congratulations on that, John, and we look forward to his run through the autumn.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, John.
John Massara there, of course, part owner of the Autumn Sun through Arrowfield Pastoral Company, I think is what's on the sticker. 1353 53 is the open line number. Just before we get to the news, we've got an update of the scratchings around New South Wales. We say good morning for the first time to Tanya.
Morning,
Tan.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Hawkesbury and Coffs Harbour. We'll start with Hawkesbury. The weather is fine. The track a soft 5. The rail is true. The penetrometer 5.01. And there are 13 scratchings. Race 1, takeout number 5, Callaway Dancer, number 5. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 3, Found Out and Miss Belief, 3 and 7. Out of race 4, number 1, Bondi Boy. Number 2, Classic Warrior, 5, Big Bad Bruce, and 9, Shadow Ace, 1, 2, 5, and 9. Race 5, takeout 1, Virgilio, 5, Prophet's Thumb, and 8, Fine Hero, 1, 5, and 8. Race 6, number 5, Cadence, and 10, Princess Eve, 5 and 10 out of race 6. Race 7, the Provincial Championships qualifier is clear. And race 8, Takeout 7, On the Take, number 7 out of race 8 at Hawkesbury. And Coffs Harbour, the weather is overcast, the track a good 4. The rail is out 4 metres from the 1,000 to the 350, through the remainder, and 16 scratchings. Race 1, Takeout 3, Mercuro, 5, Lady Claire, 12, Miss Bang, 3, 5 and 12. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 3, Trust in Cash, and 12, Pleated Miss, 3 and 12. Out of race 4, number 6, Mended, 7, Anacreon, and 12, The Good, The Bad, 4, 7, and 12 out of race 4. Race 5, number 10, Mr. Spin, take out number 10. Race 6, number 5, Kedar, and 9, Rizalda, 5 and 9 from race 6. And race 7, take out 11, Go Hard on Hula, 12, All About Charlie, 13, That's Madness, 15, Schopenhauer, and 17, Denman Quality. 11, 12, 13, 15, and 17 from race 7 at Coffs Harbour.
Thanks, Ken. Had some tongue twisters there. Got through them brilliantly. Hawkesbury today, race 5, number 6, Columbina. Looks really hard to beat after those scratchings. I think she's got a mortgage on that race. Race 5, number 6, Columbina. Then into the Provincial Championship qualifier, I thought race 7, number 1, Spring Charlie. Can beat Safado, Akin War, Cornella. Sister Sledge looks hard to beat in race 6, number 11 as well. On to Coffs Harbour, Jimmy, in race 5, number 1, I Want to Be a Jeep. Into race 7, number 2, Clint.
I Want to Be a Jeep. Interesting. 13:53:53, the open line number. We're going to take a break. After the break, we'll speak to Peter Peters. Hottest issue in sport is, of course, Jack DeBellin, whether he should be stood down. Peter Peters was front and centre for the Brett Stewart case, almost 10 years to the day. We'll ask him about all of that and more.
I'm Sarah Womby. The federal government will put $35 million towards developing a vaccine for rheumatic heart disease, a deadly illness that largely affects Indigenous communities. The money from the Medical Research Future Fund will allow for the manufacture and testing of vaccines, as well as the fast-tracking and funding of clinical trials. Australia has one of the highest incidences of RHD in the world, and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are 64 times more likely to develop it. The New South Wales government has been accused of adopting a chaotic policy on the run approach to music festival safety after it announced 14 high-risk festivals that will be affected by an incoming licensing scheme. The list will be regularly reviewed, and festivals which improve their safety could be removed while others could be added. It comes after 5 revelers died at 4 of the high-risk festivals between September 2018 and January this year. Premier Gladys Berejiklian says organisers need to compromise with the new rules which start on March 1st.
All we're saying to the high-risk festivals is just please meet us halfway. Please let us know what management plan you have in place. And if we feel we need to complement it or we need to add more to it, that's all we want to know. And we're asking them to work with us because, as I said at the beginning, we want to see more live music festivals.
4 people have been killed on Victoria's roads in less than 24 hours, with a cyclist the latest fatality. A truck crashed into a motorised bicycle on the Henty Highway at Portland in Victoria's West yesterday afternoon. The 18-year-old cyclist died at the scene. It's the 4th death on the state's roads. Also in news, dangerous beach conditions remain in Queensland and the northern New South Wales, despite Cyclone Oma being downgraded to a subtropical low as it moves away from the coast. And in Western Australia, there's a severe fire danger advice for the Goldfields Midlands, Midwest Gascoyne and Pilbara regions today, with very hot, dry and windy conditions. A nun and a woman journalist have delivered the toughest criticism of church leaders heard so far at Pope Francis's sexual abuse conference, accusing them of hypocrisy and covering up horrendous crimes against children. About 200 senior church officials, all but 10 of them men, listened at times in stunned silence in a Vatican audience hall as the women read their frank and at times angry speeches today, the penultimate day of the conference convened by the Pope to confront a worldwide scandal. Sister Veronica, a Nigerian who has worked in Africa, Europe and the United States, says we should have spoken about this earlier and the storm will not pass.
We proclaim the Ten Commandments and parade ourselves as being the custodians of moral standards and values and good behavior in the society. Hypocrites at times, yes, but why did we keep silent for so long?
And North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has set off by train for Vietnam for his second summit with US President Donald Trump next week. The reports of Kim's departure from North Korea came after Vietnam announced that Kim would make an official visit in coming days as the Southeast Asian country prepares to host the summit with President Trump on Wednesday and Thursday. This is Air News. The Brumbies have ignited their Super Rugby season with a stunning 8-try display against the Chiefs, smashing the Waikato-based franchise 54-17. After a first-round loss to the Melbourne Rebels, the Brumbies ran in 5 first-half tries last night en route to their first victory over the Chiefs since 2014. Jake Clifford's bid to win a North Queensland NRL starting jersey has gathered momentum after an eye-catching performance against the Gold Coast. The 21-year-old scored late in last night's match to complete a hat-trick of tries in a 22-16 trial win for the Cowboys. There were also wins for St George Illawarra, Penrith, Canberra, Cronulla and Brisbane. Adelaide have inflicted a first AFLW defeat on Fremantle after cruising to a 42-point win in Darwin yesterday. Brisbane thumped the Western Bulldogs by 32 points. Geelong took down Carlton 19-14. Costa Barbarossa has claimed a point for 10-man Melbourne victory in their derby, with Melbourne City securing a 1-all draw in the A-League. Earlier, Sydney FC defeated Wellington Phoenix 1-0. Two-time champion AB Yang of South Korea and Australian Minji Lee shared a two-shot lead on 15 under 201 after the third round of the LPGA Thailand. And Australia have the chance to heap a 20th straight year of misery on New Zealand when the two sides clash in today's ODI Women's Clash in Adelaide. New Zealand haven't held the Rose Bowl trophy since 1999. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Grigio by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Pay 0% per annum on balance transfers for 26 months with the Bankwest Breeze MasterCard. 2% BT fee applies. Bankwest, bankless. New customers only. Limited time. T's and C's apply. In Five Dock, we've got a breakdown citybound on Parramatta Road near Regatta Road. In Double Bay, lights are flashing on New South Head Road at Kiora Road. And in Surrey Hills, we've got lane closures on Bourke Street between Favot and Fitzroy Streets and Cleveland Street for light rail. Best to use Crown Street instead. Tonight on 10, there'll be crazy pranks, epic stunts and mega prizes. Extend your weekend with Sunday Night Takeaway. Premieres live 7:30 tonight on 10. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta.
Warrawee Needy.
Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warrawee Needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warrawee Needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy, medium chance of showers. Are we undercover today, James?
China Doll, yes, we are undercover. Yeah. Excellent question, Roman. Fine dining experience like no other,
absolutely,
by the way.
Absolutely. Anyway, these showers are more likely near the coast. Winds south to southeasterly 20 to 30 k's.
You can't get much closer to the coast than we'll be today.
That will be right on. Heading for a top temperature in Sydney of 24 degrees today. James, what's the current temperature out at Hawkesbury for the opening round of the Provincial Championship Series? And we'll go down to near your old neck of the woods. Hay.
Hay. Yeah, anyone from Hay, Ray?
I do, yeah.
Hawkesbury today, right now, 17 degrees, 22 degrees.
Man.
22
degrees. Can't see anything.
And for Hay today, look out, sunny. Maximum temperature, 34 degrees.
Oh,
Wood. And now Brough, a dab into the in-goal area. Chance for Batchelor. They've got the 4 points. They threw away the opportunity of two, and they went for four.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program, second hour of it. And remember, we've got our wingman and Winks. Best contribution of the day, that goes to our talk topic, mm-hmm. which is the when has sport
well
brought
topic.
You joy. We've got the Events Cinemas quiz coming up very shortly. 4-3 is the score in that, your favour. And, of course, the China Doll long-time listener quiz. We'll have our first question. We'll have our first question now. And our first question, that'll be, where is Vin Cox headed today? Where is Vin Cox headed today? He's the general manager of Godolphin. Where's he headed today? That
itself,
is question one. Zorba very shortly. And, of course, the hottest topic, Raymond, is Jack DeBellin. Mm. And this is an interesting one that's been brought up. And as remember, Zorba was at the heart of the Brett Stewart case. It's almost 10 years to the day. Guys, if anyone asked Jack DeBellin, is he happy with the position he's got himself into? I'm sure he'd say no. So why doesn't Jack DeBellin stand himself down? Wouldn't this be seen as a somewhat proactive move on his behalf? And I'm sure the NRL and Players Association would be supportive of this. Cole from Newcastle. It's an interesting one, Cole. Cole, I'm sure Jack DeBellin, who has pled not guilty, doesn't believe he's done anything illegal. Now, he may have done something immoral.
And that's a different issue.
Completely different.
And that's one for himself and his partner and his family to deal with.
Correct. Correct.
Another interesting take on this is from Judy. What's it going to be like when Jack DeBellin runs out to play and gets booing from the crowd, etc.? It would affect his game. It's a hard decision, obviously, to stand down. But in saying that, I know what Judy's saying, but also players get booed anyway when they go on the ground from opposition supporters, etc. But in this instance, he will be targeted.
Brett Stewart had this exact same thing happen to him 10 years ago. Zorba was there. He's with us this morning. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Ray. Morning Jimmy. It's a tough one. I hope the NRL don't fall into a knee-jerk reaction here. I think it would set off a massive dispute between the Rugby League Players Association and the game.
Yes.
I think cool heads are needed here. And I think the best thing that Todd Greenberg can do is to phone his judiciary chairman and set up a meeting for the very eminent QC at the time of the Brett Stewart case and now a High Court judge as well, Supreme Court judge. Jeff Bellew is the man to talk to on this issue, and Todd Bellew has him at his disposal. Mm-hmm. It's an eerie coincidence that Brett Stewart was the pin-up boy of the NRL and chosen to be the face of the 2009 season 10 years ago, and all hell broke loose just after 7:30 p.m. on a Wednesday evening, a few hours after the season launch at Manly Wharf. It was a terrible time for the player, his partner, his family, his teammates, the game, the Manly fans, fans of the game itself, sponsors. By 11 o'clock that night, all hell broke loose. I received a phone call from Stewart's manager, George Mimas, that Snake was in custody at DY Police Station, possibly facing serious charges. George said he couldn't get a suitable legal representative at that time of the night, and could I help? Unfortunately, Jeff Bellew was up at the time. I phoned him. He hot-tailed it to GY Police Station. And then in the hours that followed that morning, Bellew told Stewart to say nothing, and he didn't. Now, that's something that has been followed in this case by Jack DeBellin. Now, the cases are different. Every case is different, and I'm not saying one way or the other anything about DeBellin. But one thing that Jeff Bellew told Brett Stewart is not to say a word, and he didn't. That didn't stop the front page headlines, "I don't remember a thing." Subsequently, the matter of a defamation case brought on by Stewart once he was found not guilty. The NRL and David Gallop wanted Manly to stand Stewart down, and they stood firm and refused. The club was fined, ridiculed, and Stewart was ultimately given his rightful day in court, where a jury quickly handed down a verdict. But it appears the lesson wasn't learnt by the NRL. It appears certain that DeBellin, who, like Stewart, has said nothing but a not guilty plea, that's all he's uttered, against the charges, will be probably stood down from the game until he appears in court. I think that is going to be a watershed decision if it's made by the NRL. I know there's a lot of money gone out of the game, and I know that the public is furious. I am too, but I think behind it all is the fact that you must be given your right, and that right as an Australian in a democratic society is to be not guilty until you're proven or you're proven innocent until you go to court.
Exactly.
And let the court decide. I'm pretty strong on this because of what I went through. I saw what Brett went through. He was called a rapist every time he walked down the street. He heard the talk in the dugouts from the fans nearby. He heard everything, and it changed that young man's life.
So, has he ever got over that?
I don't think so. I haven't spoken to him for a long time, but he appeared pretty good at training the other day when he was on the field. He's back at Manly and assisting Des Hasler on his coaching staff. So, obviously those sort of scars take a long time to disappear if they do disappear. I don't know the ins and outs of the Bellin case. We've only got one side of it at the moment.
Yes.
We only had one side of the Stewart case at the time. He never said a word. And I think there's been some things written in the last couple of weeks since the Bellin did appear in court that we haven't heard the last of.
From what I understand, Jack de Bellin's lawyers have issued one media outlet with a concerns notice around some of the headlines that we've seen there. So that will, again, as you say, play out. Damaging headlines, saw, but and this is the thing, everyone's saying, yes, they're damaging headlines for the code, but Jack de Bellin, the St George Illawarra Dragons and the NRL can do nothing about that.
No. No, they can't. And we read about now about this meeting on Thursday. I would love Todd Greenberg, who I've got the utmost respect for, he may have already had a talk with Jeff Bellew. I mean, Jeff is one of the finest men I know, and he will have a view which he could give to Greenberg about which path, and he's a lover of rugby league. Don't forget his dad was one of the great officials of our game, Tom Bellew.
Yes.
He ran the game, jumped into the chair when Kevin Humphreys was stood down from a position. So, you know, we've got people to go to here, and I think we should use them. And Jeff's experience in this case would be great for the NRL to fall on. I mean, there are other people grandstanding, and I think that's wrong. I think that we've got the opportunity here to just be calm in a crisis and let it unfold. Hopefully, it'll get to court sooner rather than later. But are we asking St George to stand him down for maybe a year and a half, and subsequently he may be found not guilty?
Yeah.
Well, that just opens a Pandora's box in my mind.
Exactly. So a lot of pressure on Todd Greenberg. He's come out a couple of times in recent days saying this is the toughest professional decision of his life. He's under pressure to make that decision to stand down Jack de Bellin. Some people saying that it'd be strong leadership. Jimmy's point is well made. It's also strong leadership if he doesn't stand him down and stands by our democracy, which is innocent until proven guilty. This is a bit of a test of Todd Greenberg's leadership here.
Oh, absolutely. And there are other issues that are going to be discussed this week and maybe decisions made on. The Cronulla Sharks have won. I mean, the Dogs are barking. They're going to be hit with a massive, massive fine, which may take them to the wall. That's, you know, the rumours are just everywhere about what that fine will be. And some people are saying in the know that it could be between $1 and $2 million, which could cripple the club. There's that. There's Dylan Walker's in court in a few days' time over his charge. He'll be appearing in court. Manly played him in a trial last night, which continues on the club policy set down all those years ago on the Brett Stewart issue that the players are given their right to have their day in court. Well, Dylan gets his day in court, and that view may change if the court makes a decision, but at least he has his day in court before before any decision is made. So it's going to be a tough week for the game, but it could be a defining week in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, trials. Tommy T, my favourite player in the NRL. Hamstring injury. A couple of other young forwards injured as well for Manly. Billy Kickow, injury. Are they doing the right thing playing trials?
Well, Jimmy, the more I look at it, the more I think there are... Well, we've always known they're a necessary evil in our game. Billy Kickow and Tommy Trbojevic are two of the biggest names in the game.
Yes.
They may not be available in 18 days' time when the season kicks off. My view is that in training today, they have opposed sessions after opposed sessions with NRL referees in charge, and they are as tough, if not tougher, than the trials, because the players are there in front of their coaches saying, I'm a better player than my opposite in this opposed session, and I'm going to prove it.
Yep.
And it is like, if people saw what went on, they'd know that the trials are... They're not needed anymore. It'd give the chance for the game to kick off maybe a few weeks earlier and give us a couple of weeks mid-season to maybe have a rep break. I think there's an upside to it, and I think we should be looking at it, and I think it's time now to do it. But 18 days to kick off, boys.
Yeah, can't wait. Hey, Sorb, who's potentially, Jimmy and I have been debating it for a couple of weeks now, the big improvers in the NRL this season?
Oh, I think Newcastle, just by pure virtue of the players that they've bought, the class of the players that they've bought, the fact that they have strengthened just about every part of their side. I had a look at them on the streaming last night, and they look sharp. I think Kalen Ponga and Mitch Pearce will prove a very good 6 and 7. They did some fine things last night. Look, I think that they, by virtue of who they've bought, will be the big improvers in 2019. The Dragons have an exciting prospect in 21-year-old Michele Ravalawa, who scored 2 tries in the trial. He's not tall in the mould of Fijian wingers that we've seen and are watching in the competition every week now. Oh, he's the jack in the box and can find the line and looks very exciting.
Yeah, he was playing for Mounties last year. Couldn't get a start at the Raiders. When he was signed with the Dragons, they cut him from playing for Mounties. So he is a guy you need to keep your eye on. Maker Suvo is a young bloke who played for the Panthers. Now he's going to be at Parramatta. He's a star waiting to happen. So keep your eye out for that guy as well. And we see that Tina Turner is one of the most famous, well, forget in sport, overall, the brand enhancement. They're going to bring it back, Zorb.
30 years ago next year. Boy, doesn't time march on. Simply the best, Tina Turner, it's the best in Australian sport, covering every sport. And John Quayle and Ken Upson in charge of the New South Wales Rugby League in those days, they managed to get her to come to Australia. The ads will be replayed next year, I understand, by the NRL, and that's a good thing. Boys, I just quickly.
Yes.
Parramatta continue to be the dunces of the NRL on and off the field. The Eels didn't have many things to cheer about last season, but they did unearth a bright young hooker in Reid Mahoney. Remember us talking about him when he made his debut? He played 9 games for Parramatta last year. He looks a real prospect. He's come through their junior reps. And, well, the club obviously don't think he's ready because it seems they are willing to fork out $750,000 a year for the 255-game 31-year-old Warriors veteran Isaac Luke, who is on $125,000 at the Warriors. He's got to get outdoors if he can get an extra dollar somewhere else. Well, Para, it seems, have jumped in with a $750,000 offer. I reckon that's way over the top. Best days are behind Isaac Luke. I like Mahoney. He's a jack-in-the-box hooker. And Parramatta, if they shun this local junior, for the veteran from across the Tasman, then that'll just be a nail in their reputation, I reckon.
He needs to get his running game in order when he plays in the top grade. I like watching him play. Reed Mahoney, I'm not sure pronunciation around that. I'll tell you what this highlights for me, Zorb, and it's a really interesting point, and it's on the wake of them missing out on George Burgess for 3 years. It's when your recruitment aligns to short-term goals, that is, Brad Arthur has got to get some wins on the board, otherwise he won't have a job, as opposed to what's best for your club and the management of your salary cap over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
More long-term view.
Yeah, 100% agree with you, Jimmy. And that's the point in this. Sure, look, the kid's wet behind the ears. He'll learn. I thought he's tough. He's got good service from dummy half. Yep, his running game's got to get better. It's not up to Luke at the moment, but he's a long-term prospect. Start thinking about the future, not about the quick fix, as you say. But when you've got a coach under the pressure that he's under,
yep,
then, you know, these are the sort of decisions that are made.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. It is going to be fascinating on Thursday. We will wait patiently for an outcome from Todd Greenberg and the National Rugby League. Good on you, Zorb. Really appreciate that insight that you've given us around the Brett Stewart case 10 years ago as well.
Okay, mate, and cheerio to the Board Riders having a ball up there at Snapper Rocks where the waves are huge, and Joel Parkinson, Adam Hennessy and the rest of the elite Board Riders up there tune in every Sunday morning to the program, so a good shout-out to them.
Ah, good stuff, Zorb. Well done, well done. We'll speak next week, Zorb.
Okay.
See you, Pete. There he is, Peter Peters, his thoughts on the game of rugby league. $250,000 will be the fine, I know. Trust me, for my Sharks. That's Rod from Nowra. So, again, there's some big issues going to be discussed on Thursday.
Just on Isaac, look, what's the situation at the Warriors, Jim, given they've lost Sean Johnson, Simon Mannering's retiring,
yes.
Isaac Luke's a proven, experienced, seasoned first grader. Wouldn't you want him there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting way that they've gone about contracting him. So they've said, hey, we like it when you're coming off contract because we think you play your best footy then. So we're going to put you on a one-year contract. And we'll take a low, we'll give it you a low price. And Isaac Luke said, okay, well, I'll back myself to get another contract, a long-term contract, but because I'm taking up so little of your salary cap, I also reserve the right to leave this contract if I'm offered a better contract, more long-term, somewhere else.
Hence why he's shopping around.
So it's a really...
It's a win-win for both club and player, if you think about it.
Well, now the pressure's gone back onto the Warriors and go, well, if you want to keep him, you've got to extend him.
Mm.
It's an interesting situation. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chinwag today, as always.
Chinwag with Cozzy brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Tab's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account best only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamble's Help 1-800-858-858.
Derby Racing invites you to their Open Day Yearling Parade on Sunday, March 3, to be held at K Ranch Arena, Mount Hunter. Derby Racing will be parading their latest purchases for syndication by Exceedin' Excel, Written Tycoon, Savabil, I'm Invincible, and many more. Meet the Derby Racing team and enjoy entertainment from Damien Noel. Join the Group 1 Golden Slipper winning syndicators at K Ranch Arena, Mount Hunter, Sunday, March 3 from 10:30 a.m. RSVP at derbyracing.com or call 0246 480998.
AFL 33244.
Malia Magic in front. Awesome Pluck. Luciola Bell out of the clouds. Luciola Bell hits the lead. Luciola Bell takes out the qualifier.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And that was the Port Macquarie Country Championship qualifier last Sunday for Luciola Bell. Speaking of qualifiers, Silver Slipper yesterday.
Yes.
Was certainly a huge qualifier, and our interviewee shortly is our China Doll interview of the week.
Feature racing interview brought to you by China Doll, the award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo. It takes creative dining in Sydney to another level. We will be there this afternoon. I can't wait for it. Gary Portelli, master trainer of juveniles, if you believe what you read in the newspaper,
what
Raymond.
What are you saying?
But I'll tell you what, I'd love to have a PR department as strong about you as Gary Portelli.
Well, if he keeps training two-year-old winners like Time to Rain yesterday, it's proof. The proof is there, and Gary's on the line. Good morning, Gary. And well, the proof was there yesterday, wasn't it? He was dominant Time to Rain.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yes, he was. And don't forget, Ray, we did win Group 1 Manicato with Rebel Day in 8th, so
yes,
we can stretch them out.
Absolutely.
So now you're upset with the publicity department because they're overlooking
mate, you learn, mate, all publicity is good publicity. And but sometimes you get bracketed a little bit too much. But, look, it's not a bad tag to have when you've got studs and breeders that love to see their horses race early. And, it's all about turnover for the breeders. And, I've sort of made sure that we've marketed ourselves at doing a good job with young horses. And it's all starting to work out nicely. All them years of watching Clary Connors and John Hawks and what have you, picking their brains and learning from these guys is, starting to work out because we're getting better stock and, we get it to the track and do things like we saw yesterday.
Did you ever lose faith based on the previous run? It was probably, I don't know, whether it was a return to form or a consolidation of form.
Look, I don't think we actually was a losing faith. He hadn't proved himself up until Warwick Farm, probably, as it was. He won a
right.
couple of races and didn't beat much, but didn't really do it with any real authority when he won them two-year-olds. So, I'm thinking, well, he's probably no Cyril Range. He was beating him by 8 at that time,
yeah.
If she was a machine. He might be a lesser version of it, but, a nice horse to have, don't get me wrong. And then we went to Warwick Farm and he did a lot wrong, over-raced badly, did a lot, as I said, a lot wrong. I didn't find a real lot, but most horses would have been beaten 10 after pulling as hard as what he did in the early stages. But he battled away to beat 2. His work was sensational on Tuesday morning, and he's just come on physically. And, he had to prove himself yesterday for everyone, really, I said after the race, my post-race interview, I'm back in his camp now for sure.
Yeah. Well, obvious question now then, Gary, is how does he compare with She Will Reign post-Silver Slipper?
Well, look, he's certainly on his way now after yesterday's. Yesterday was supposedly the cream of the two-year-olds. Everyone's making excuses for wet tracks and everything, but we usually get wet tracks through this time of year, so we're hoping for our sake that we're going to keep getting them. So at least we've got that box ticked, and I think he's certainly starting to grow on us. He's a stallion proposition. There's all these things that come with these big two-year-old races, and
yeah.
Now he's won a Group 2. He's probably values through the roof now.
He's
a half brother to a Group 2 Gold Slipper winner himself. So, he's getting there, but when she was a machine, she was range. She's something special to me, and it'll take a big effort to topple her.
Well, I was going to say 4 weeks out, 3 weeks and 6 days out from a Golden Slipper. What's the plan?
We'll stick to the plan. It was to go around in the Todman, which is the same weekend, but Cyril Rain actually got her colours lowered that day, and she was beaten by Follick. And then she came out and won the Slipper a fortnight later, but we're not planning on getting beaten, but to sort we'll bounce back, there's no doubt. He's a top colt. I've actually said to James, just stirring in that it's his Slipper to lose this year, and I might have been a little bit shaky now, but there's no doubt over 1,200, it'll be very hard to beat the sort, so it'll be an interesting race in a fortnight, and then the Slipper 2 weeks later.
That's like Liverpool FC in the English Premier League. It's theirs to lose.
No, don't say that. They're getting the waffles.
Well, that's the feeling I had all the way through with Cheryl Ray. I just thought, well, I can't stuff this up. I've got the horse. I finally got a horse that can win a Slipper. Now it's my job to make sure she can. And so, it was more a feeling of just basically getting the job done when she won. But with this bloke, it will be different because we haven't expected to win with this guy, but he just keeps improving, and that's the sort of horse you like to see going into these big races.
Exactly. You just don't know where the ceiling is, do you, Gary? Hey, Gary, can you have a view, or can you line up the Blue Diamond form yesterday compared to, say, the Silver Slipper form?
Too hard, right? Isn't it really? Until they come up here and go around the Sydney way of going, which I feel is not the normal, a natural way for horses.
Yeah.
Most Sydney horses will get around the Melbourne way easier than what they will come from Melbourne to Sydney. But yeah, look, it's hard to line up. But obviously, at that level, they're quality horses, and bit of respect for anyone that's winning these big races, that's for sure.
Mm. Look, if there's any other issues you have during the course of the week, Gary, about what the publicity department is doing for you, by all means, make contact straight away and we'll rectify that. No problems, okay?
Well, I might go to sign a dog with you bikes, mate. It's one of the best restaurants in Sydney, so...
Here we go.
Well, there we go. We'll be cutting that. That'll be on the promo next week.
Well, it is. I've been there every time we go to Sydney, which is very rarely that I get away, just besides working. But when we get to go to lunch, China Dolls are, you know, our favourite restaurant. So interesting, it's the sponsor of this segment.
Now, listen, if you're angling for, if you are interviewed, that you get the free
food. Like the pork belly. Yeah.
Oh, I think we're doing the banquet today, but look, Gary, we will be thinking of you as we're getting stuck into our entree. Mate, congratulations yesterday, and look, exciting times. Good luck over the next couple of weeks. Mm.
I think I'm talking again soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
Gary Portelli there. That feature racing interview was brought to you by China Doll and Fairdick, and Portelli, he's the best.
Very impressive.
Trying to get him a start today. Tell you what, if you'd rung a little bit earlier, we might have got him in there. Anyway, 13:53:53.
On your talk topic, Jimmy, this is from Eddie from Glenfield. It's the beauty. When sport has put joy into my life as a 12-year-old having just entered high school in the mid-70s and watching our new PE teacher being introduced to the school assembly on the first day of Term 1. It was none other than Russell Fairfax.
Wow.
The all-boys inner-city school were ecstatic. It created a huge interest and joy for hundreds of kids to have such an idol and a gentleman as a mentor to our sporting futures. Eddie from Glenfield, the great Russell Fairfax.
Wow. I think I've told the story that Andrew McKinley, who was working for Channel 9 at the time, and Russell Fairfax was working for Fox Sports at the time, and they were in South Africa for the 1995 Rugby World Cup.
Okay.
And they were walking down the street, and a bloke walked past and came back, a gruff South African, I don't think there's any other kind. And he said, Fairfax. And he said, yes. He said, you're still the greatest schoolboy footballer I've ever seen.
Wow.
Turned and walked away.
Who was he?
He toured there. No, just, idea. Just someone who'd watched him play in the 1967 or 68 Australian schoolboys rugby team that toured South Africa.
I've got a Russell Fairfax story. Penrith Park in 1975, the Great East team under Jack Gibson were virtually unbeatable.
Yes.
Went to Penrith Park, long odds on favourites in racing parlance. I remember when Russell Fairfax and Ian Schubert had long blonde hair at the time. In those days, they used to drive yourself to the ground. They walked in the far side, had to walk round to the grandstand, got absolutely mobbed by hundreds of kids in school, basically girls running towards them. Penrith beat him 19 points to 9. Massive upset. One of three losses the Roosters had all season.
And now we know why. 13:53:53, the open line number. Pete's on the line. G'day, Pete.
Hello.
Good morning, Pete.
How are you? I was Jimmy's son for 5 minutes this morning when he talked about... I remember my dad taking me to North Sydney Oval. The war was on. And I saw some of the greats. Frank Ivers, captain of North Sydney. Harry McKinnon was playing. Arthur Clues was wet. They were playing Western. So it was Arthur Clues and North Sydney front rower Laurie Doran got sent off. Arthur Clues went to England soon after the war, and I think he stopped there. I think he had a pub, and I believe he died there. You know, but I can't believe the feeling of just walking on that oval and seeing my first ever first grade rugby league. It was just unbelievable. And there was a few of the players who played for North, Johnny Bliss, Australian Beach Sprint Champion.
Yes.
He went to North Sydney, bloke that I got to know very well when I moved to Manly years later, Bert Collins, and he was Manly's first number one, first fullback.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, I still could close my eyes and picture the days. It was just the old fig tree there and, you know. And everyone knew me as my young kid. I was scorer. You know, no one knew my name, but I was, because Dad was quite well known. And, you know, I went and it was just great. Like,
who was your dad,
you know,
Pete?
My first day he got the races as a kid was something. But I just could imagine how Jimmy Summers feeling walking into King's Grove Sports Place the other day.
Pete, who was your dad, just out of interest?
Sid Thomas. And my dad, started the junior soccer in Bankstown. He was a Welshman, come out here. He was an orphan and come out here. And he was born 1980, 19, 1908, and I think in the 30s he come here. And, yeah. So,
great memories, mate. Yeah. Memories that last a lifetime.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know,
good on you, Pete.
Righto.
We've got a roll, mate. Thank
good
you.
Call,
but,
Pete. Yeah.
Fantastic. Just before we go to the break, Ron's on the line. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Jimmy.
Good to see you on Friday, Ronnie.
That was fantastic.
Yes, you're all dressed up for the golf club.
I'm from a funeral.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, I got dressed up to see you, Jim.
Did you have a hit with him, Ron?
I haven't had it for 20 years, mate. My spine's gone. Oh. But no, I made a point of going around and making sure he was there and kept him honest. And, man, congratulations on the that fine effort. And you know what she said about you. I don't believe that about those two balls in one hole.
Oh, it's true, unfortunately. Wish I could deny it.
But you helped raise some
yeah, well, actually, that earlier text from the Rory Bull, that was me.
Oh, jeez. You've just given yourself up, Ronnie.
No, I love an honest Ron, they call me.
Honest Ron, righto.
Just on the, no, great to see up, Jimmy.
Yeah, great to catch up, Ron. Now, you got a nomination for the talk topic.
Yeah, it's been a little sister, mate. Going back to 1963, she was a bit of a surfboard rider, and they had the first, it was at North Avalon, it was the first surfing meet held under international rules, surfing rules, and she was 16 and she used to get up, you know, at 4 o'clock every morning. She just started work, and she'd go in and practice around there at Palmy. Cut a long story short, she won it.
Yeah, well.
And I remember going down, I wouldn't go down until the sun came up. And when I saw that little kid, it just was an inspiration, you know, and she's my younger sister, and put a lot of love into the family. I was so proud the day she walked out, and she walked past me on the beach, and she just looked at me. She said, well, what do I do now? And I just said, go out and win it.
Yeah, fantastic, Ronnie. Great yarn, mate. Great times. Good to catch up with you.
You've exceeded yourself today.
You're so surprised by it too, Ronnie. 1353-53 is the open line number. By now, we've got to go to a break, but call if you'd like to be a part of the quiz. We're hopeful that this quiz will go off.
Run smoothly?
Scot-free. Without incident today.
Well, that, James.
Yeah, exactly. You currently lead 4-3, but call now if you'd like to be part of the quiz, all courtesy of Event Cinemas.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester, plus your calls. Sydney Radio's longest running program. Punters Postmortem. Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Get behind Place of Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle. You could win big with $500,000 in prizes on offer in every raffle. Plus, $5 from every $10 ticket directly supports a local grassroots sporting club or charity of your choice. With Place of Purpose, it's a win-win. Tickets available online at playforpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. The story of Jimi Hendrix comes to life on the big screen at Event Cinemas George Street from February 27th. Follow the story of the Jimi Hendrix Experience's involvement as the headliner at the second Atlantic International Pop Festival, then hailed as the Southern Woodstock. Cinebuzz members can see it for just $18. Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now.
James, are we going to go into the quiz now.
Of course we are.
What? Score check is 4-3.
4-3, yeah.
Last week, the controversy that
yes.
you created.
Yes.
This man deserved a second shot.
Allegedly.
So should Stu and I go first?
Yes.
Should I go with Stu again?
Yeah, go on.
Actually, I should ask Stu. Stu, do you want to go with me again, more importantly? How are you, Stu?
Yeah, I'm sticking with you, Ray.
All right.
Jimmy's off the Christmas card.
Well, hang on. You weren't invited over to this team, so...
Hey, Stu. We'll go 3-0 again, eh, mate?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Question number one, Stu. Dump, floater and spike are terms used in which team sport?
Volleyball.
Oh, solid start, Stu. Question number two. What is the only country to have won medals in the Winter Olympics but not in the Summer Olympics? Is it Liechtenstein, Iceland or Andorra?
Iceland.
Liechtenstein, that's a tough one, Jim.
Mm. Okay. Good.
Oh, yeah, of course you'd say that. Good. Here we go, Stu. Question number three, another multiple choice, Stu. Which city held the 2019 NFL Super Bowl? Was it A, Atlanta, B, Boston, C, Los Angeles?
Boston.
Oh, it's Atlanta, Stu. We've got one out of three. We could be in a spot of bother here, James.
Bad luck, Stu. My heart goes out to you. Eddie!
Hello.
How are you, mate? We're ready?
Not bad, champ.
Ready, Eddie?
Yep.
Okay. Question one. You've got to get two to win it. Question one.
Okay.
How many Olympic Games have been hosted in Africa?
One.
Which one?
Yeah.
Zero.
We've got to think hard about that. It's
one
news,
World Cup. One World Cup.
I guess... Finance.
Economics. Economics is part of that.
Yeah.
Righto, Ed. Question two. In 10-pin bowling, what is it called when you roll three strikes in a row? A, a Barney Rubble. B, a bagger. C, a turkey.
B.
Never heard of that. That's a made-up question. This is ridiculous.
And the answer is, James?
C, a turkey. Well, that's what that question is. A turkey.
Well, it couldn't be Barney Rubble, because that's trouble. So, it's down a bagger. I've never heard of that. Bagger or turkey. It's a turkey. There you go.
Question three, Ed.
Yep.
Who is the only player to have won six consecutive Wimbledon singles titles? Is it A, Roger Federer, B, Martina Navratilova, or C, Serena Williams?
Martina Navratilova.
Oh, well done.
What did Borg win? Five, did he?
You
five
win,
in a row.
76 to 80.
There we go. All right, now we've got the tiebreaker. Tiebreaker. Eddie, you'll get the question first. How many tries did the Bulldogs score in the NRL in the past 2 years? So in season 2017 and season 2018 combined. The answer is between 100 and 200.
144.
All right. Stay on the line, Ed. Stay on the line. Back to you, Raymond.
Hey, Stu, you there?
Yep.
We're still alive, Stu. Tiebreaker question. Best of luck, mate. How many tries did the Bulldogs score in the NRL in the past 2 years? The answer is between 100 and 200 tries.
144.
Oh, what do we do now, James?
Well, this is unprecedented.
You're not going to believe this, Stu. That's exactly the same tiebreaker question that... Eddie said, do we go again, do we?
Yeah, we go again, because they're both not right, but they've both said the same number.
Have another crack, Stu.
Have another go, Stu.
168.
Okay, hang on the line there, Stu. Back to you, Jim. This is more controversy.
Eddie, you said the same number that was incorrect that the other player, Stu, said as well, right?
Really?
Yeah. So you get a second opportunity at it.
Okay. 130.
Oh, bang on.
Now that is bang on. So just to let people know that if you're on the line, you don't get to hear what the other person says, because we had the situation where they just go one under or one over, and so we've had the two contestants said the exact same number. They had to go again.
It just doesn't happen.
Stu said 168. Eddie said 130. The answer is 130.
You win.
So Eddie wins.
So there's a couple of things to come out of this. Most notably,
she's very unlikely.
Eddie got it spot on in another highly controversial quiz, Event Cinema's quiz.
Stu's the unluckiest player in the history of the quiz.
Stu misses out, which gives me no end of joy. And three, I get the win. That is possibly the best quiz of all time. Hey, Ed. You there, Ed? Where are you from, Eddie?
Liverpool,
mate. There is a Liverpool Event Cinemas, so we will be sending you out a double pass. By the way, if you have won the quiz over the last 5 weeks and you haven't got your tickets yet, just be patient.
What's happening there, Jim?
Well, Prakash has got some serious questions coming his way.
Is he busy in the corporate world?
Possibly. You know what? I think it's one of those situations, Ray.
Has he forgotten the little guys on
exactly.
the way up?
Exactly. He's just taken his eyes off the ball just a little bit. Got a little ahead of himself in there at George Street. But we will sort it out with him. Eddie, you stay on the line. We'll get all your details. We'll be sending those tickets out as soon as they arrive. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. And we want your calls on 1353 53.
Punters Postmortem
on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester, plus your calls. Sydney Radio's longest running program, Punters Postmortem, Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Warrawee Needy.
Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warrawee Needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warrawee Needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
He'll roll it down there close enough. That will be good enough. Ryan Fox taps it in, and he's broken through. A first-time winner on the European Tour. He takes out the ISPS Panda World Super 6 in Perth.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, what about our second question? Re the China Doll.
China Doll, long-time listener competition, and that's for your chance to be a diner at China Doll with a $150 voucher in your back pocket.
Sample fine fare today.
Yeah, and we'll give you a full report on your desk next Sunday. So what number did both our contestants, Eddie and Stu, say in our tiebreaker in the quiz? What was the number that they said? So write that down. You need your third question. Then you call on 1353 53.
Speaking of that, Davo's chimed in. Is it true some members of ICAC will be observing the quiz boys from now on? And Herb says, this quiz is a stitch-up.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have representatives of state lotteries on hand, because otherwise...
Hey, yeah, exactly. James, overnight, some sad news in racing. Sebring, the 2008 Golden Slipper winner, outstanding racehorse and sire of a Horse of the Year in Dissident, an outstanding horse in Criterion, Egg Tart, Lucky Bubbles, etc. He's passed away at Widden Stud overnight. Still a young stallion, so that's a big loss.
What age?
Would have been, say, if it was two in 2008, what's that, 13? Is that right?
That is young.
Young stallion. It's a big loss for Widden Stud because he had a lot of his career ahead of him. So
That's
terrible news.
Sad news all around. 1353 53. Hi, Ray and Jimmy. I think that just playing sports gives you many wonderful personal childhood memories. As a hockey player, I remember the great sense of self and belonging, turning up every week to be a part of a team, doing something that you truly enjoyed. It also allowed the opportunity to travel every October long weekend to Tamworth for a huge round robin, possibly playing against some of the greats. Also to New Zealand, travelling with the league team. I remember winning the TV in the raffle to fund the trip. I think I ended up buying most of my raffle tickets and hence paying for the trip and TV myself. All wonderful memories. Vicky at Port Macquarie. Well
hockey
done,
hub,
Vicky.
Tamworth. Hockey hub.
Oh, what about Goulburn?
Yeah, Goulburn's big.
Yeah. Strong hockey.
Couple more on the quiz, Jim.
Yes.
This is from Dave from Wattlegrove. Jim, how about you let Stu play for Ray every week?
That's a good idea. He's rubbish.
This is EJ. You wouldn't believe it. It could only happen on your show. You never cease to amaze me. The best radio segment of the week. That's the quiz. That's from EJ.
Arguably is what I would say on that one. 1353 53, the open line number. We've got callers on the line there. Dougie's wanting to have his say. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Doug.
I've got two things to say.
Yep.
Jack McMillan first. I reckon he should get a fair go, but what you're right about is, Jimmy, I think that they're coming down on him all the time, but they want to get things clear in the right position, you know?
It's going to be hard to get things clear, but what you have to do is, I think, as I said before, lead the game, maintain your belief in innocent until proven guilty, and let the courts play out that way, no matter the pressure and the difficulties that you're under from things that are beyond your control.
Yeah. And another thing I was going to think, Kingston Town won the race with Malcolm Johnson.
Yeah.
He told me to back it that day.
Which race? He won a lot with Miracle Mal, so.
Kingston Town.
Yeah, Kingston. He was a great horse, wasn't he, Doug? Yeah.
And that brought joy into Dougie's life as well dollars, which is nice as well. So there you go. No, we do appreciate. Morning, Ray and Tanya. Forget Jack DeBellin. Jimmy Smith should be stood down immediately from the quiz, pending a Jeff Toovey-like investigation. That's Heather, the other Newcastle Seagull. So there you go. There's two of them up there.
Very interesting.
Thank you, Heather.
I'm just searching for this SMS I wanted to read out, but I think we've got a call on the line. It's Colin. I hope he's there. Colin, good morning.
Morning.
How are you, Colin? Can you?
What do you got for us, Colt? Let's go.
What did you think of Loving Gabby's run yesterday in the Blue Diamond? And is she going to the
super? Yeah, second start, not a lot of luck. I dare say they'll press on because she hasn't been overly raced this prep, and a lot of two-year-olds in that race didn't have the best of luck. But in saying that, Cole, the winner, she came from last and ran them all down, so it's hard to knock her, isn't it, Jim? She was very, very good.
Yeah.
This is from Mitch from Canberra. Boys, let's be clear about the Jack DeBellin issue. This is not just a complaint being made. He has been charged. They have found evidence that he needs to face court. Very different to someone just making a complaint. He should be stood down based on the seriousness of the charges. What if he'd been charged with murder? Let him play? Come on, guys. Of course he's innocent until proven guilty, but until it's all settled, he must be stood down. Mitch from Canberra. That's the opposite view to you and I, Jim, but he raised some salient points.
I tell you who raised a really salient point, and that is Ray, who earlier made mention of the fact, well, what if leading up to a big... If they stand down Jack DeBellin, what if leading up to a big game, the allegations are made against some of the elite players in one team or another team, and it then becomes a situation where, well, hang on, we stood down Jack DeBellin, we have to stand down these players, and the allegations are proven to be incorrect.
Yeah, it's a really interesting scenario, isn't it?
It's a very interesting scenario, and all that from a punting perspective. And remember, if you take the punting sponsorship dollar, then you have to be aware of what is available as well. Ray, if you buy Jimmy any beer, and when you inevitably lose to that cheating... B. Smith, you are the biggest patsy in the world. Don from Carlton. Oh, Don's out from under his rock. Great to have you here. Your topic for this morning, when sport gave me joy, was when I was part of the 42,000 crowd at the Sydney Football Stadium when South played the Roosters when they were readmitted to the game, and going back to South Leagues and having George Piggins sign my South T-shirt. Awesome night. Paul at Huskisson.
Yeah. Were you there that day?
Yeah, I was there that night. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Night,
Got flogged by the Roosters.
That's right. Yeah. This is from Kathy from Collector. The weekend BSB quiz just has to be on entertainment segment at next year's BSB lunch. We both didn't go, did we?
No, I wasn't invited. So.
Just for us punters to see the facial expressions on our faces, Jim. On the big screens.
Where else would you see our facial expressions?
Good morning, Kathy, and we're sorry we didn't catch up with you at the lunch on Friday.
Would you see our facial expressions anywhere else other than on our faces?
On the big screens. What did I say? Yeah, you said big screens.
And
on
see
the
your,
big screens.
See your facial expressions on your faces.
Yeah, well, I'll sort of read it. But you know what I'm trying to say, Jim.
Crook will... I know. I'm just being pedantic.
Exactly.
Right. Crook will hockey is stronger than Goulburn hockey. Just saying. That's Henry at the Bay. Okay. Well, there you go. I didn't know that, so I'll take your word on it. Quizzes on the BSB weekend need to be submitted to a university course on how not to run quizzes. Anything that can go wrong, goes wrong. And test all possibilities and outcomes only on the BSB weekend.
That's a very good point.
An excellent point, yeah.
How in the hell do you both get 144? How does that happen?
Anyone who says a rort would probably be right. Now, we've had Kingsgrove Sport, who have motivated our talk topic today after young Austin Smith was there yesterday, and they've retweeted it and said, what a beautiful sentiment. And it was great fun. It was great fun going in there, watching him in awe as he was looking at cricket bats and cricket.
How old's Austin now?
He's 8.
Batter or bowler?
Oh, you'd have to say both.
what do you reckon? Your learned eye.
Both.
Is he?
Yeah.
Loving both, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Little River? He's a couple of years younger than Austin, isn't he?
He needs to get his arm straight when he's bowling.
River?
He's still got a little bit of a bender. Murley, am I calling
him?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but he loves it, but not as much as... his brother loves it. Yeah. Absolutely falling in love with the game of cricket. 13-53-53. That's the open line number. We're taking a break after the break. This is interesting. We're going to speak to Brad Rosen. Andrew Gaze, no longer the coach of the Sydney Kings when the season ends for them. When that is, we don't know. But we'll get his thoughts on that. Phil Moss with the A-League as well. Trent Lanscow from tab.com.au. We'll have our third